All right, the targets of Donald Trump's ire across the country and around the world are scrambling to prepare for what happens after he retakes office. And that includes the mullahs of Iran and, of course, the cartels of Mexico.
The border between the United States and Mexico has been a front line in the fight against drug trafficking, illegal immigration, and cartel violence for many years. But in recent years, a force they could never have imagined has upended the cartels, one of the most powerful participants in this high-stakes game. The Big Beautiful Wall, as Donald Trump frequently referred to it, was intended to be the ultimate barrier and a soaring representation of his administration's war on illegal immigration. However, this wall posed a significant threat to the extensive smuggling activities of drug cartels, like as the notorious Caloa cartel, and was more than just a political statement. However, what would happen if these cartels sent a message that rocked the cornerstone of border security in the United States? What happens if the target is the wall itself? The Trump wall's impact on cartel operations? Building a wall along the southern border of the United States was one of Donald Trump's most contentious promises when he took office in 2017. Many others interpreted it as a reflection of his rigid immigration and border security policies. However, some, especially those in the administration and law enforcement, believe the wall was more significant and a vital tool in the fight against the constant flow of narcotics, guns, and people from Mexico and Central America. The wall, which is almost 450 miles long, would act as a physical barrier to prevent the movement of illicit goods across the border. Trump's team believed that by building steel and concrete barriers along the U.S.-Mexico border, they could effectively stop the cartel's operations. The stakes were really high. For decades, Mexican gangs have exploited weaknesses in border security to bring drugs into the United States. This is particularly true for the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, CJNG, and the Caloa Cartel. They created a national cycle of addiction, violence, and death as a result of their actions, which extended deep into American neighborhoods. The wall was designed to break that loop by obstructing what was considered the most important point of entry for cartel activity. It appeared to be a game-changer at first. It was thought that cartels would be forced to reconsider their tactics with the installation of tall steel barriers and sensors that might detect movement underground. However, the cartels swiftly adjusted despite the wall's improvements. Many had underestimated the strength and sophistication of the trafficking networks that crossed the border. What began as a physical barrier quickly turned into a single impediment in a complex game of cat and mouse between American law enforcement and cartels. The cartels had been using the weakest areas of the border to smuggle drugs for years. They were able to smuggle drugs into the United States with minimal chance of detection because the large, unpatrolled deserts and rural areas provided them with ideal entrance sites. However, the wall made them come up with other ideas. The cartels created a toolkit of sophisticated strategies and technologies while the U.S. government intensified its border security measures. Along the border, tunnels started to appear, frequently with ventilation, electricity, and even rail cars. Traffickers were able to transport enormous amounts of drugs through these tunnels right in front of police authorities. The tunnels, which created secret routes straight into the center of the United States, sometimes stretched for hundreds of feet. Tunnels, however, were only the first step. Drones, which can fly over or around walls, were also used by cartels to transport smaller drug bundles. These drones would fly across the border and drop their payload on the U.S. side. They were frequently modified to carry up to several pounds of drugs. Authorities were perplexed by this strategy, particularly in the early days of drone use. Drones emerged as a new battleground in the fight against narcotics because of the cartel's huge financial resources and access to state-of-the-art equipment. The cartel's ability to sneak drugs into the U.S. using submarines was even more shocking. These semi-submersibles avoid detection by radar and aerial surveillance because they can move just below the water's surface. When fentanyl and other synthetic drugs grew more lucrative, the cartels started utilizing these sly submarines to smuggle drugs from Mexico into U.S. waters, avoiding the border entirely. Originally, these submarines were intended to transport cocaine from South America to the U.S. Although the wall served as a physical barrier, the cartel's flexibility has shown that erecting a structure alone won't be sufficient to stop their activities. In addition to creating new technologies, the cartels have established intricate networks of brutality, corruption, and control on both sides of the border. It is extremely tough to dismantle cartels like the Caloa Cartel and CJNG because of their degree of organization and resources. For example, the Kaloa cartel has been particularly involved in the manufacture and distribution of fentanyl, a synthetic opioid that has wreaked havoc in the U.S. Through a number of means, the gang smuggles the narcotics into the United States after importing precursor ingredients from China and manufacturing them in covert labs in Mexico. Since fentanyl is responsible for tens of thousands of overdose deaths annually, its effects on American society have been profound. In addition to trafficking drugs, cartels are contributing to a public health emergency that affects both rural and urban cities. The cartels are still innovating in spite of all the technical developments. They are experts at adjusting to any systemic change, be it new technologies, new border enforcement strategies, or new legislation. Because of the decentralized yet closely coordinated nature of their operations, law enforcement finds it very challenging to locate and dismantle them. At the same time, they have been able to create a vast network of drug distribution channels that reach almost every part of the United States by collaborating with local gangs. The wider systemic difficulties that arise when attempting to combat organized crime on this scale are the problem, not just the actual border. Cartels have firmly established themselves in both Mexico and the United States, intimidating communities with murder and fear, and paying local politicians and law officials. Their power frequently extends beyond the cartels themselves to include judges, lawmakers, and police officials, all of whom are susceptible to the cartel's capacity to exert control over and influence local systems. Montana, which has emerged as a hub for the distribution of methamphetamine and fentanyl, is a prime illustration of this influence. Montana is a great place for cartel groups to establish operations with little risk because of its large, remote terrain and low human density. Of many instances, cartels have even resorted to recruiting new traffickers and dealers by taking advantage of the social and economic circumstances of indigenous communities. One of the most susceptible regions in the nation to cartel influence is the Blackfeet Reservation, where drug addiction and trafficking have decimated the local population. However, the cartels still manage to maintain their business despite the resources devoted to halting the drug supply and the historically high levels of law police engagement. They have proven to be a strong adversary in this continuous war on drugs due to their adaptability, inventiveness, and capacity to take advantage of any weakness in the system. Would the wall be sufficient as the Trump administration increased its attempts to stop the cartels' activities? Or, regardless of the amount of technology, money, or manpower poured at the issue, were the cartels always going to find a way around it? This war has become far more complex and hazardous than many had expected, due to the cartels' capacity to develop and adapt to each new difficulty, whether it be a physical barrier or sophisticated surveillance systems. The cartels still control the underground market, and as long as there is a need for illegal drugs in the United States, they will continue to push the envelope and discover new ways to get past any barriers that are put in their way. The stakes in the ongoing conflict between the U.S. and these influential drug gangs are only going to rise with each new year. Cartel chaos, internal memo, and rising tensions. A startling event that occurred in July 2024 had an impact on the law enforcement community and beyond. A disturbing command from the Kaloa cartel's leadership was exposed in a leaked internal memo. The message was unambiguous. Cartel members were now permitted to attack members of the U.S. Border Patrol. This extraordinary directive suggested a significant change in the dynamics of the U.S.-Mexico drug war and marked a drastic increase in the cartel's methods. It had broad ramifications and was an outright declaration of war against American law enforcement. The Kaloa cartel and other significant Mexican drug trafficking groups had been operating with some secrecy for years. They avoided direct conflict with U.S. officials, moved drugs through clandestine means, and circumvented border security by using their highly developed smuggling networks. The cartels were aware that openly attacking law enforcement would attract unwelcome attention and raise the possibility of police crackdowns. This memo, however, implied that the Kaloa cartel was now prepared to take such chances, going beyond what was previously seen as appropriate conduct. This order came after the cartel suffered a number of serious setbacks. The operations of the cartel were severely hampered by the arrest of two important members of the Kaloa leadership, Ovidio Guzman Lopez, the son of the infamous Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, and Ismael El Mayo Zambada, a senior leader who had eluded capture for years. The cartel was frantically trying to restore control after these well-known leaders left a power vacuum. The memo's description of violence was a direct reaction to these leadership issues. demonstrating the Kahlua cartel's refusal to submit to coercion or the authorities. In many respects, the cartel's choice to intensify the violence was a calculated attempt to regain control. Cartels like the Kahlua cartel have a history of utilizing brutal methods to keep control of their areas, including bribing authorities, killing competitors, and resorting to severe violence. However, this overt attack on U.S. Border Patrol officers signaled a change in strategy. Sending a message of defiance to the United States was now more important than merely keeping control of drug routes or retaining power in Mexico. The new strategy adopted by the cartel had significant ramifications for law enforcement on both sides of the border. Agents of the Border Patrol, who had previously dealt with the cartel's power in more covert methods, such as stopping drug trafficking or intercepting smuggling activities, now found themselves in the crosshairs of cartel violence. It was revolutionary to consider that agents might be attacked while performing their job. Agents of the Border Patrol reported a rise in violent contacts in the months after the letter was made public. Some of these interactions included cartel members shooting at agents or ambushing patrols along well-known smuggling routes. A change in the cartel's perception of their own security was also demonstrated by their readiness to target police enforcement directly. In the past, cartels such as the Kahlua cartel have based their activities on evasion and concealment. Staying under the radar was essential to their capacity to bring drugs across the border, whether using drones, tunnels, or hidden cars. The cartel indicated that it was prepared to conduct business in a far more blatant and combative way by increasing violence against law enforcement. This shift in approach also sparked worries about the cartel's growing militarization. Although the Kahlua cartel had a long history of using heavily armed enforcers, sometimes referred to as sicarios, hitmen, their readiness to interact with law enforcement in an open manner indicated that the cartel had become an even more advanced, well-funded, and military organization. U.S. law enforcement authorities reported that members of the cartel were now regularly armed with military-grade weapons, such as body armor, grenade launchers, and assault rifles. Concerns regarding the widening gap between the capabilities of U.S. authorities and the cartels they were attempting to dismantle were sparked by the notion that cartel agents were more heavily equipped than some local law enforcement officers. Furthermore, American communities close to the border also felt the effects of the growing violence. It was just a matter of time until the violence spread to American cities, as cartels grew more blatant in their conflicts with government authorities. Rival cartel turf battles, driven by rivalry for drug markets and smuggling routes, had already escalated violence in border cities like Laredo, El Paso, and San Diego. The already unstable situation was made worse by the targeting of U.S. Border Patrol agents, which transformed once calm neighborhoods into battlefields where cartel members engaged in combat with one another, as well as with law officials, placing defenseless citizens in the line of fire. U.S. officials increased their efforts to combat cartel violence in reaction to these threats. Agents in the Border Patrol received improved training and new gear to help them avoid being ambushed by cartels. In addition to the deployment of counterterrorism forces to the border, the U.S. military was increasingly consulted for tactical assistance. It was believed that these actions were required to offset the cartel's increasing sophistication. In an attempt to counteract the cartel's influence on both sides of the border, law enforcement organizations also started working more closely with Mexican authorities. However, it wasn't just the cartel that was adjusting. Already overburdened by the cartel's violence, Mexican law enforcement now faced an even greater threat from cartel members who had started attacking local police departments in addition to their American counterparts. The cartel's plan to target Mexican police and U.S. Border Patrol agents was an obvious attempt to weaken state authority on both sides of the border, thereby making law enforcement targets in a conflict they never agreed to. The ability of the cartels to transport drugs across the border and the destructive effects of their activities have historically received a lot of attention. But the current reality is that cartels have transformed into paramilitary groups that directly threaten the sovereignty of both the United States and Mexico. This increase in violence demonstrates that cartels are contesting not only control of drug routes, but also the legitimacy of the governments attempting to stop them. And with the stakes higher than ever, the conflict between the cartels and law enforcement has reached a new and terrible phase that will put both nations' resources and commitment to the test. a troubling reality is reflected in the Kaloa cartel's audacious decision to target U.S. Border Patrol agents. Cartels are become more aggressive, more brash, and more eager to intensify the struggle on drugs to previously unheard-of proportions. The message was more than a directive. It was an affirmation that the cartels had changed from being shady characters. Now that they were openly opposing the forces that were supposed to stop them, they created the conditions for a more dangerous conflict that would have long-term effects for border security and U.S.-Mexico relations. The cartel's reign of terror across the border. Tension has been rising along the U.S.-Mexico border, and President Donald Trump's 2024 re-election has made matters worse. Desperate and hopeful for a fresh start in the United States, thousands of migrants are making their way to the border in the hopes that a change in leadership would present them with a better future. Their trip is unclear, though, as the border has grown more and more into a battlefield for vicious gangs and powerful drug cartels, in addition to immigration. Agents in the U.S. Border Patrol are under increasing pressure. They have to contend with the rise in migrant crossings and the growing threat of violence from cartels. Every day, they grapple with escalating confrontations, involving both the cartels waging their own territorial war and those attempting to infiltrate the United States. With a foothold in American areas like Los Angeles, Phoenix, and San Diego, the cartels, particularly those like the Kalo and Jalisco New Generation Cartels, CJNG, have expanded their influence far beyond the border. Once restricted to managing drug routes, these cartels have turned American towns into battlefields for their bloody turf fights. The cartels attack rival organizations and government enforcement using military-grade weaponry like AK-47s and grenade launchers as part of their harsh methods to control drug markets. Assassinations of prominent individuals, home invasions, and violent shootouts have become frequent occurrences that have extended well beyond the border into suburban neighborhoods. With cartels using new technologies like drones to scout for targets, and even secret tunnels to transfer drugs across U.S. borders unnoticed, the amount of bloodshed has increased dramatically. In order to ensure that their activities are firmly established in American areas, they have adjusted by utilizing local gangs to distribute their goods. Their businesses are now more profitable due to the move to synthetic substances like fentanyl, which is also more difficult for law authorities to destroy. The increasing impact of cartel violence on people is among its most concerning features. Immigrants, locals, and even law enforcement personnel are frequently caught in the crossfire as cartels vie for control of territory. Families are being uprooted, companies are being destroyed, and entire neighborhoods are being turned into battle zones. The already serious situation has been made worse by the cartel-fueled fentanyl crisis, which has led to an increase in the number of overdose deaths in the United States. The cartels keep changing as the bloodshed intensifies. They just change strategies when law enforcement steps in, continuing their drug traffic through the use of dark web platforms and encrypted websites. Due to cartels' expansion beyond conventional smuggling routes, their operations have expanded globally, making it more difficult for law enforcement to monitor and intercept shipments. The caravans of migrants continuing to arrive at the U.S. border are another indication of the increasing sophistication of these organizations. Cartels have historically taken advantage of migrants by kidnapping them for ransom or charging them exorbitant fees for protection during their journey. Cartels are increasingly enticing migrants to join their ranks by promising them protection and a better life, which helps them fall for their illegal schemes. Resources to fight the rise in migrants and cartel violence are overextended due to the tremendous strain on border officials. Although Border Patrol officers are making every effort to control the situation, the magnitude of the problem, drug trafficking, human trafficking, violent gang activity, and the migrant flow, has left them unsure of how to handle all of these problems at once. The administration of President Trump has promised more aggressive actions to address the escalating situation, and has pledged to take a tougher position on illegal immigration and cartel violence. But despite these assurances, it is still unclear if these actions will be sufficient to halt the cartel's growing influence and power in the United States. The stakes are bigger than ever, and the future of the border region is still uncertain due to the cartel's increased entrenchment in American communities. The border is situated at the nexus of national security, crime, and migration. And as the conflict heats up, it is evident that the fight for dominance is far from finished. Who will eventually rule this hotly disputed and unstable area is still up for debate. The cost of cartel violence in the U.S. The consequences of the opioid crisis, especially the fentanyl epidemic, are particularly severe in rural and tiny towns that have never experienced this degree of drug trafficking. Previously, a tranquil state with low crime rates, Montana is today a major battlefield for cartel activity. The state's remote location has been exploited by the Kaloa cartel and others, who saw it as a perfect place to smuggle big amounts of fentanyl. The socioeconomic costs of this invasion are overwhelming the communities in what was previously thought to be a quiet state, which is currently dealing with a sharp increase in overdose deaths. The damage caused by the opioid trade and the toll of bloodshed pushed by cartels are becoming more and more obvious. Fentanyl's potency is what makes it so deadly. In addition to the high death toll, it also leads to widespread addiction and social degradation. Whole families are in ruins, and the already overburdened local resources can't handle the growing situation. This is a harsh reminder that the cartel's influence reaches even the most remote regions of the nation, which is especially concerning in locations like Montana, where residents have historically felt remote from the drug problems afflicting large cities. The long-term effects of cartel infiltration in rural regions are structural and go beyond the immediate violence or drug consumption. This terrible epidemic is affecting entire generations, and when communities attempt to heal, the drugs keep coming in. Trump's bold plan to fight cartels, missiles, and military force. The ramifications of Trump's plan to launch missile strikes against Mexican cartel labs go well beyond drug policing and test the limits of American engagement in international conflicts. Directly targeting cartel operations might, on the one hand, send a strong message that criminal organizations are not tolerated and stop the flow of illegal drugs into the United States. Proponents contend that violence and drug trafficking are still on the rise because conventional strategies have not been able to stop the cartel's influence and authority. However, concerns over sovereignty and the possibility of unforeseen repercussions are raised by the proposal to start a military campaign in Mexico. Given that it already has to cope with cartel violence domestically, Mexico might see such interference as a violation of its sovereignty. In addition to raising tensions between the United States and Mexico, this could jeopardize years of collaborative anti-drug initiatives. Given the shaky ties between the two countries on matters like immigration and trade, there could be serious diplomatic repercussions if the strikes inadvertently injure civilians or destroy vital infrastructure. Furthermore, even though missile strikes are aimed against laboratories, they can incite further violence from the cartels, who might try to escalate the fight or react with more sophisticated weapons. As cartels become more desperate and ruthless in their operations, this increase could put civilians at even greater danger of injury. It's unclear how effective this strategy will be in the long run, because cartels might just move or rebuild their operations, making it a band-aid rather than a long-term solution. Ultimately, even if Trump's plan takes a firm stand against cartel brutality, it also creates a host of ethical, political, and security issues that are difficult to resolve with military action. A world on edge. Trump and the cartels are preparing for what may be the next stage of a bloody high-stakes confrontation as the 2024 election season heats up. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel, CJNG, and the Kalo Cartel have made it plain that they will do whatever it takes to keep control of the lucrative and lethal trade routes that run deep into American cities, in addition to the border. The U.S.-Mexico border is the focal point of the continuous struggle between these cartels for control of the world's drug market. Trump views the battle against the cartels as a personal mission rather than merely a political one. Although his administration has already tried harsh crackdowns, he has stated that his second term would be much more aggressive, promising to use all available means to eradicate cartel power. As he positions himself as the country's final line of defense against what he terms an invasion of drugs and crime, Trump's language is as aggressive as ever, from deploying military forces to stepping up law enforcement. However, Trump's tough stance against the cartels is coming under pressure as he prepares for re-election. Critics who doubt that border militarization is the answer, or that such measures will merely intensify violence and worsen the situation, are numerous. In the meantime, the cartels keep developing, using advanced smuggling methods and technologies that surpass the capabilities of border security organizations. Every move on the chessboard has the potential to alter the balance of power in this dynamic, which is created by the conflict between Trump's promises and the cartel's expanding influence. The United States is caught between the complicated reality of immigration and the growing menace of cartel violence, making the conflict more than just a political one. As the stakes continue to climb, both sides are preparing for conflict with no apparent end in sight. What's next for Trump's wall and the cartels? The Calo cartel sent out a disturbing warning, stating unequivocally that they are ready for a conflict that will go beyond territory disputes and touch the core of American society. The cartels are aware that pressure is growing, as a second Trump presidency is a possibility. Trump's campaign for re-election shows that he is not going to back down, and his government will probably step up its efforts with even more harsh strategies, such as increasing military participation or stepping up clandestine operations against cartel leaders. Knowing that the United States will be working harder than ever to undermine their activities, the cartels are preparing for the response. However, adaptation is nothing new to the cartels. By incorporating cutting-edge instruments into their operations, they have grown more complex. These days, drones are employed for drug smuggling, law enforcement movement tracking, and surveillance. The cartels have also penetrated more covert networks, such as the dark web, which gives them access to international marketplaces that are well outside the purview of conventional law enforcement. Trump's all-out war on drugs may be just one aspect of a much wider fight, one in which conventional enforcement techniques and even military force may be outmatched due to the degree of coordination and technological innovation within these criminal organizations. Furthermore, these cartels have evolved into independent political and economic actors who are no longer only concerned with limiting the supply of drugs. They have been able to infiltrate companies, influence local governments, and even enlist individuals into their ranks thanks to the money they make from drug trafficking. The conflict is made more complex by their capacity to hold vast regions hostage and subdue local officials through bribery or fear. It's obvious that we're moving into a new stage of this conflict, one that will put the limits of American military power, diplomacy, and law enforcement to the test as the cartels dig in their heels and get ready for more violent clashes. What do you think will happen next? One question still stands as the fight heats up. Will the United States, with its strong military and well-defended borders, be able to overcome the cartels, who will do everything it takes to safeguard their profits? The cartels have repeatedly demonstrated their adaptability by utilizing everything from underground tunnels to advanced weaponry to keep control. They take advantage of flaws in the system to contact people across the border. However, the U.S. government has the resources for law enforcement, sophisticated monitoring, and military power to retaliate. However, history demonstrates that the cartels are tenacious, frequently coming up with new strategies to function in face of mounting pressure. The fight is about breaking up a global criminal network that is ingrained in American culture, not just about protecting the border. The question still stands: can the cartels continue to develop and hold their power? Or can the United States outlive them? The stakes are higher than ever as the fight continues. Please subscribe, like, and click the bell symbol for more stories like this one so you don't miss our next in-depth look at border security, cartels, and the fight on drugs. Until the next time.